WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. And first we're going to be talking about some of the polls that are being taken by Middle Tennessee State University, looking at issues that impact us all. Visiting with us this morning, Dr. Ken Blake, the director of the MTSU polls. Dr. Blake, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Great to have you here. You brought Dr. Jason Reinecke. Am I close?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spot on.
Well, Associate Poll Director, how do you determine the topics of the polls?
Do you want to take that? Or?
Sure. You know, it's a combination of things. Mainly we look at what's going on in the news generally, as well as upcoming elections and issues facing the legislature in the state and nationally as well.
And this time it was pretty easy. We've got a Senate race in Tennessee, and what we found is we have a little bit more of a race perhaps than anybody was expecting.
And so how do you do this? Is it Middle Tennessee, or do you do the whole state? What do you, how do you put this together?
We poll a random sample of registered voters statewide. I say we poll. We actually hire a firm that polls those folks for us. They do it professionally. They use live interviewers, and they do a random sample of 600 registered voters across the state. And we use a mix of landline and cell phones as well to pick up those cell-only folks.
Now, do the students learn how to do this as well? Is this a project, a class project?
No, we started out way back when using student interviewers because that's all we could afford. But starting in, I think it was 2006, we began to outsource the data collection because it just got a little too complicated for untrained students to do when you're talking about dual frame sampling, cell phones, as well as landlines and so forth. And that just makes it a little more complicated. Best to leave that to the professionals.
Now, you mentioned something that I think a lot of people are aware of, but maybe don't think about. Mm-hmm. Cell phones and landlines. Mm-hmm. Are landlines becoming sort of the dinosaur of the past?
Well, for some folks, at least, and certainly what we find in polling is that if you do not sample cell phones, you're going to miss a sizable chunk of the population that you're trying to estimate attitudes for.
I was looking at calls that we receive at our landline,
yeah.
And out of maybe 10 calls a day, 8 of them are what I would call junk calls, wanting to sell you something or something of that sort. Does that create a problem for you? I mean, you're not a junk call, but you have an overpowering number of junk calls coming in. Does that make it more difficult to get a good response on a poll?
It is difficult and increasingly difficult to get good responses on polls. The nice thing is that so far research shows that non-response is basically randomized. So all types of all individuals with different demographics and opinions are equally likely to write you off as a junk call and not answer. So so it doesn't bias the results too much.
Tell us about some of the polls that you are releasing now or about to release, and because they're fascinating, some of the responses.
Well, thank you. Yes, we've actually just finished releasing our last round of results. We released in three waves this time around. Because Jason and I both have day jobs, and it takes a little while to analyze these results and push them out. But I think the finding that has generated the most interest is our findings in the race for U.S. Senate in Tennessee. We found that former Governor Phil Bredesen is leading Marsha Blackburn, the Republican candidate, by 10 percentage points. He picked up 45% in our sample. She picked up 35. Now, it's really important to remember that 17% are still undecided, and it's a long way until November. So,
and a lot could happen.
Much could happen, yes.
That's right.
What about some of the other polls that you're releasing? What is, when you have had a poll, what is the one, is there one, that has had the greatest response? People, I didn't realize that.
Oh, golly. This time around, it probably is the Zbretas and Blackburn results. But perhaps another thing that might surprise people is we found in this poll that support for gun control has actually taken a quite a leap in Tennessee. 2 years ago, we asked people whether they thought that laws on regulating the sale of firearms should become more strict, stay about where they are, become less strict. And only about, 33% last time around said that that those laws should get more strict, and now we've jumped up into majority territory. So now our poll was taken during the same week as the so-called March for Our Lives in Washington, and we could be seeing a kind of a temporary rise in level of support for restriction based on that coverage. It could subside again. We'll have to poll again and find out.
I noticed this morning on this station, the morning news was talking about how people are wanting to determine whether a person is mentally able to handle a gun, and they're asking, trying to figure out how to have doctors ask that question, do you have a gun? And if they're a little unbalanced, maybe he could report that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So there are different ways people are looking at that. Mm-hmm. Are you going to continue that survey, that question, and find out more about that for the future?
It is a difficult thing to probe, and it's a difficult attitude to probe. Even here, the National Rifle Association, which, by the way, according to our poll, still has majority support, more majority approval in Tennessee, even the National Rifle Association, favors some increase in rules and restrictions on gun sales. For example, they want more information in the database that that the feds will, the background database that feds will check. So this could be reflecting some of that. But we've most definitely seen a rather fast and rather large rise over the last 2 years in support for that kind of regulation.
Now, for the MTSU polls, does that come under any particular college?
We are supported by the College of Media and Entertainment at MTSU, and Dr. Reinecke and I both are faculty members in the School of Journalism and Strategic Media. So that's kind of where our home is.
Is there an increase in interest in that area?
In the area of journalism?
And media, entertainment, the whole gamut.
I certainly hope so. It's my livelihood to teach those folks.
I'm for it.
Yeah, you as well, right? Yeah. I think a lot of people, perhaps more people than ever, are paying attention to media just through different channels, and media are just kind of trying to figure out how to monetize it.
Yeah, what is media?
Right.
And so, which brings us to a whole new direction, and you may have had a poll or be thinking about a poll on this. What media can you trust? I mean, there's the unfiltered social media, things, networks, local broadcast. What has the greatest credibility?
Sure. Media literacy is a big issue in our field right now. And thinking about teaching not only our students, but in our role as a public university to help people better understand these types of issues. One of the main things that I recommend always to both students and people in the public in general is to try to get your information from a wide range of sources. So if you can confirm a story, even if there's a little bit of a different slant or perspective on it from different sources, if you can kind of try to confirm the facts across a variety of sources, that's usually going to serve you well as a citizen and a consumer as well. My colleague Dr. Blake has an expression about news that you pay for as well.
Right, yeah, with the exception of radio, which of course is generally free, but ad supported nonetheless, you get what you pay for. If it might be a good idea to subscribe actually to a media outlet, pay a little bit, and you'll get better quality as a result. I think the level of coverage makes a difference as well. And I'm not saying this just because I'm in your studios, but when I want to find out what's going on in Murfreesboro, WGNS is one of my go-to places. Your coverage tends to be timely and tends to be accurate, so I pay attention to that.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah. Let me ask you this. What enables people, when will they be able to go back and look at media that's offering something down the middle so that you can learn from both sides instead of offering something that's far left or far right.
Well, you know, I think there still are those media outlets. I'm sure folks who are fans of left media or right media would call me naive for saying so, but I think the professional media really do shoot down the middle.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. And good to hear from somebody who's looking at the big picture, so to speak. For people who are interested in maybe helping you with questions for the next poll, do you accept questions from the public?
Oh, people are always welcome to email us with questions or suggestions for that matter. Our website is mtsupoll.org, and folks can go there and see our contact information and shoot us an email if they like.
Very good. So just do that and be listening to WGNS because we do put all of your polls on. They're fascinating. Mm-hmm. And keep up the great work, too.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much.
It's a lot of fun.
Dr. Ken Blake, the director of the MTSU polls, and Dr. Jason Reinecke, the associate poll director, visiting with us on our tribute to Middle Tennessee State University. Stay with us. Much more to come. Kent Seiler is going to be coming in next. Some interesting things happening at the Gore Center. Stay with us. Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
At Music World and Drummer's Den, we have a great tech guy for your guitar repairs, amp repairs, and those guitar setups that are so critical. At Music World and Drummer's Den, we match internet prices on major items, come in and actually feel and touch the instruments, and make sure that that's exactly what you want, and really be comfortable before you make a purchase. This is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den, South Church, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street. We have a multitude of steaks for which to pick from that we cook on our grill with our specially blended oils and seasonings. And with that, you can choose any of the side dishes that we have to offer. And as always, we have a 100% guarantee on any of our items at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. Demas's Restaurant offers a full-service catering options, whether you want drop-off catering or full-service catering. We are one of the few restaurants in the area that can offer full bartending service. We have our catering liquor license from the state, and we are happy to provide you with whatever service you need at your next event. This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street across from Martin's Home and Garden.
Rutherford County is growing like crazy. As we grow, I want to know that my tax dollars are spent wisely and that we won't raise taxes. As mayor, Tina Jones will make sure Rutherford County moves in the right direction without higher taxes.
Hi, I'm Tina Jones. Politicians are quick to spend more of our money without making sure we're getting the most for our money. As county commissioner, I led the fight for lower taxes. As mayor, I'll make sure we don't raise taxes for transit boondoggles and monorail schemes that will not solve our traffic problems.
Paid for by Tina Jones for Rutherford County Mayor June Chu, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Tina Jones. The best way to ensure that Rutherford County moves in the right direction is to elect leaders who have a consistent record of fighting for lower taxes, less regulation, and more jobs. That's what I've done, and that's what I'll do as your mayor. Early voting runs from April 11th to April 26th, with Election Day on May 1st. Please encourage your friends and family to vote for Tina Jones. Together, we can move our county in the right direction.
Well, good morning. It's still heavy, but it's moving right along here. So we check it out live on 24 westbound here at Sam Ridley Parkway, approaching Walden Road, headed up into the Hickory Hollow area, coming through Laverne, Smyrna right now. The traffic just heavy out here. You pretty much would expect this time of the morning. The Air Force, they're currently hiring over 150 different career specialties right now. For more information, it's really simple. You just log on to airforce.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies this afternoon, high into the upper 40s. Northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30. Tonight, decreasing clouds, a low of 33. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 36.
Hello, this is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank. I have some exciting news about a great new checking account product we are offering at First National Bank. It is called Elite Checking, and it is a powerful way to save money. The Elite Checking account is powered by Bazing and offers lots of great local discounts. Come see us today at 2230 Mercury Boulevard, First National Bank. Real service, real people, real bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I happened to glance up, and the clear sky was gone.
Coast to coast, all night, every night.
All I could see was something round and black.
On WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Hey, welcome back. Our focus today on Middle Tennessee State University. Kit Seiler is with us, the political science professor and special projects coordinator of the Albert Gore Center at MTSU. Kent, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. It's great to be here and be with you.
Good to have you here. How long has the Gore Center been around?
Well, the Gore Center evolved originally when Albert Gore Sr., who was an MTSU alum, was defeated in the 1970 election. And the political science department approached him about having his papers come to MTSU. So he bagged them up and sent them to MTSU along with a lot of his gavels and his nameplate for his day, you know, a lot of different items. And that was the beginning. And it went through a few reincarnations along the way, but that was the beginning of the center.
Now, is this open to the public daily? And if so, what's in the Gore Center?
It is open to the public. The Gore Center is a working archives, and it not only serves as the depository of papers of Albert Gore Sr., of Bart Gordon, my former boss, Clifford Allen, the former congressman from Nashville, Richard Fulton, Jim Cooper, Bill Boner, John Bragg, Mike Lyles. There's all kinds of both legislators and congressmen there. And it's also the MTSU archives. So the MTSU history is stored there. So it's opened daily. It's in the Todd Building in the basement of the old library. And we have an archival staff. You come and tell us what you want, and we'll find it for you.
Now, just a few weeks ago, we commemorated the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King, and I understand that the Gore Center has a lot of phenomenal information there for not only the assassination, but Dr. King's life.
Yeah, the amazing thing about an archive is it really does preserve history. And one of the things I've done as a teacher is when we study a subject, I can generally find something from 50, 60, 70 years ago in the Gore Center. And so when we study civil rights, we'll go over and look at letters that Senator Gore was getting about the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So
letters from the public.
Letters from the public, yeah. And so it works incredibly well to, I say, okay, they'll bring them in, I'll set them down at a desk, and I say, okay, let's pretend it's 1964, and you're an aide to Senator Albert Gore Sr. Here's the morning mail, and I'll give each one of them a folder full of letters. And, you know, working in a congressional office, when I worked for Bart Gordon, I learned, you know, the mail is so important because if you don't pay attention to your constituents, you don't get reelected. And so they sit down and they read through these letters, and the light comes on about, how amazing, it is to have these things that are this old. And so, jumping ahead to 1968, we had a lot of letters that came in after the Martin Luther King assassination. And so I got into them just to kind of see what people were saying, and I really did learn a lot. There were kind of three types of letters. One was people who were upset and say, you know, let's try to do something about this. This is a wake-up call. Another were a group of people, the Fair Housing Act was stuck in Congress at this time. And a lot of people said, there was one that was written, it said 11 o'clock, April 4th. You know, what happened tonight, we need to pass the Fair Housing Act. And then there were a large number also of people who were upset with President Lyndon Johnson ordering a day of mourning and asking that the flags be flown at half staff for Reverend King. A lot that upset a lot of people. They didn't think Reverend King deserved to have the flags flown at half staff. So you can see a lot of the turmoil of the 60s right there in those letters.
Fascinating to see that, because today's adults and youth, the people who were not here during those times, they have no feel of what it was like and how the moods were so varied. Yeah. We could go back even earlier and all of us would be surprised. And you're doing a phenomenal job. You're interviewing, I believe, a lot of older citizens, getting their impressions of what happened in their lifetime.
Yeah, one of the things we were able to do is I found a letter from 1968 from a guy that was from Nashville. His name is Rife Huey, and he was in school at the University of North Carolina, and he wrote Congressman Richard Fulton in 1968, upset about the assassination, says a wake-up call, we need to support civil rights. And so I thought, you know, this guy was in college 50 years, he might still be around. So I got on the internet, I started Googling him. I eventually found a friend of his that I knew, and I called her, and I got his text. And so I took a picture of his letter from 50 years ago, and I texted it to him. And I said, I'd love to talk to you about why you wrote this letter and how you feel about things 50 years later. And he said, I'd be happy to talk. So I got to interview him, talk to him about his feelings, and talk to him about how it impacted his life. And, you know, he said that it really impacted his entire life, his politics and a variety of things. Not only that, the King assassination, but the assassination of Senator Kennedy, the Vietnam War. So, you know, he was a real, like, a, you know, kind of creature of the 60s and how that had really guided his entire life.
Interesting to be able to put that down again, update it, so to speak,
it is.
For future generations.
It is, and we continue to try to look for those opportunities when we find these documents.
Now, if somebody comes over to the Gore Center today, after hearing this on the radio, you may have some curious people. What are they going to find, and what are the hours, too?
The hours are 8 until 4, and they will find a place with a lot of tables and a lot of boxes. But we have an archival staff that you come in, you tell us what you want, what you're interested in, and we'll go find it for you and bring it out and give you the box of letters, and you can sit and go through it.
Now, are there displays, as you would find in a museum, that if you don't have a particular thing you want to research, that you could just walk in and look at the different areas at the museum, at the center?
There are. We also train student archivists. We have and people who are going to work in museums. So we have a graduate student staff, and they are always rotating out different types of exhibits. We have one. We've done a lot of veteran oral histories. We have one of those up right now. The other thing we have, because of the inauguration back a year ago, we have a lot of invitations and inaugural things that everyone had over the years, going all the way back into the, you know, the time of Senator Gore and the presidents during his time, all the way through the ones through Bart and President Trump.
Now, when you hear people talking about history is like a pendulum and it'll swing back again, you have the material to confirm what it was back then. Are you seeing a swing in that pendulum going back?
You know, it's such a great question. And one of the most amazing things I've found is that we were dealing with a lot of the same issues 50 years ago that we're dealing with now. And a lot of the arguments, my students would look at these letters from 1964 and they would read what someone said. And I would go, man, I've heard that same argument, you know, 10 years ago when I was with Bart Gordon, or I just read this in the paper this morning. So whether it be, you know, healthcare, guns, civil rights, civil disobedience, you can go through the list. And people were saying almost the same thing, both on the positive and negative side of them, or for and against side, that they are now. So that's what's really amazing is, and you learn, change happens very slowly.
I think you could go back 100 years and find this.
Probably, yes.
Well, you see old articles from the newspapers in the 1900s or so. Same things.
Yep.
Just slightly different names.
Yeah. So, and that's it gives us a good foundation to understand that we're not the first people that have ever dealt with these issues, and which is to somewhat reassuring. I guess if you are hoping for quick change, then it's not, but it is, you know, people have lived through this before.
So to get in touch with what's really happening today and compare it to the past, you need to take some time to go over to the Gore Center. And once again, where is it located?
We are in the basement, the 128 Todd Hall, which many of us that were there will know that is the old library.
But it has a new door.
It has, yes. It has a lot of new things, doesn't it? Yeah.
Can you even come in? What was the front door before? Can you?
We come in, you're best to come around to the back side, and then you can come straight in. Yeah, we're on the ground floor, I should say, instead of
the you're over on the ROTC.
We're on the ROTC University old University Center parking side. Yeah,
where the Keithley Center.
Yep.
Which was the second, I guess. Second
that was the second one,
unless there was one way
James
before.
James Union Building, and
number
then
one,
yeah, that one, and then of course the beautiful new building.
That's
an incredible place.
Phenomenal. Wow. I really thank you for joining us and bringing us up to date on what's happening at the Gore Center. Anything else people need to know about the facility?
No, you can go online. We have a website in Albert Gore Research Center, Middle Tennessee State University. One of the other fascinating things that's on that site is Congressman at that time, Gore, gave a weekly update at WSM Radio on World War II, leading into it and all the way through it. Those are posted, and they're fascinating to read, to see, you know, you can follow it week by week as we go through the war.
Do you have any of the old recordings of him actually?
No, I'd love to find those, Bart. We've tried to check with WSM to see if we could get them, but all we've got right now are his speeches, many of them handwritten, that he actually read on the air.
Things like that are so difficult to keep. I know people ask us here at the station, do you have a recording of something that happened in, say, 1948, 49? Probably we don't. But that's because, not that we don't want to, if we kept things from back then, we would have a warehouse full of tape recordings.
Yeah.
A little bit different today when you're, you know, saving them in an MP3 format.
It is. And one of the things we just picked up were all of Channel 2 WKRN's news tapes for like a 10-year period.
Wow.
Because they were about to throw them away. And you're talking about a huge chunk of video history there. So, it is. It's just hard for a lot of places to keep them now.
And you can look at those.
We're working through digitizing them, yes.
Okay. Kent Seiler visiting with us today, bringing us up to date on the Gore Center, one of those pearls in our community, the Gore Center. Go check it out. It's at MTSU. Kent, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bart.
Stay with us. Much more to come.
He's Rutherford County's consumer warrior.
This is the real deal.
Mark Howard, weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
You might be typical, but you're part of something huge. An energy you can plug into. It's all around you. It's part of you.
Oh, meditation.
No, electricity.
Oh, I get mine from Middle Tennessee Electric.
Great. Then you're a member of our not-for-profit cooperative, bringing you affordable and reliable power. Oh, yeah, and you're not typical.
Oh, but we're all members, so we're all typical.
Find the benefits of membership at experiencemembership.coop. That's experiencemembership.coop. Experience membership.
Shh, I meditate.
Breakfast doesn't get any more down-home than this. Sweet potato pancakes topped with pulled pork, fried apples, and a sunny side egg. Don't forget your side of home fries. Stop by Puckett's for breakfast in downtown Murfreesboro at 7 a.m. to grab the Southern Stack any day of the week.
Hello, this is Willie Dennis from Smith Brothers Car Wash, 1103 Memorial Boulevard. This time of year, the pollen starts coming out pretty heavy, and you coat your car in that yellow tint. We want you to come try us out and help you get that pollen off your car. The cleaner you keep your car, the longer it'll last. Your paint stays fresher when we keep your car clean, and that's where Smith Brothers Car Wash can help you. Come on by and let our family help you get that pollen off your car. This is Willie Dennis from Smith Brothers Car Wash on Memorial across from Old Charlie's.
Weatherwise.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies this afternoon, high into the upper 40s. Northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30. Tonight, decreasing clouds, a low of 33. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 36.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Our focus on Middle Tennessee State University continues. And at this time, we're going to be talking with Dr. Murat Arik, the director of the MTSU Business and Economic Research Center. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about the study that has just been released about the Comprehensive Wage and Benefits Survey of Mid-State Manufacturers. Mm-hmm.
It's a study, you know, that emerged out of a region-wide partnership. And we had a partnership with the Middle Tennessee Industrial Board Association, and we received a grant from USDA, federal government entity, you know, to conduct a region-wide, you know, including 40 counties in the region, a region-wide wage and benefits study, and it was a great partnership, you know, across the board.
Tell us a little more about that. Does it show that the economy is strong here? Mm-hmm. Is this a good place to live, to work? What about that?
You know, the study itself actually does not directly address those issues, but you know, I could give you my perspective on the overall economy. I mean, we are doing great here in Middle Tennessee. You know, whichever indicator we look at, you know, say employment growth, unemployment rate, housing issues, exports, we are really at the prime level currently. Many counties actually have less than 3% unemployment rate. That's something phenomenal.
I know a lot of people look at this area and they think, well, I couldn't afford to live on the salaries that are paid there, but I think they don't stop and think the cost of living is quite a bit different from some of the other places. I guess Chicago, very expensive. New York City, I think, is the most expensive.
Yes. Those issues, whenever you have job opportunities, you're going to see people moving in. When you have that the flow of people, you're going to see actually some cost elements, including demand for housing, it's going to go up. But, you know, what's happening is that, you know, some core areas now, it's really high cost area, like, you know, Nashville Center. Like Rutherford County and some other outlying areas, you know, it's growing, still not that expensive.
As you take studies like the Wage and Benefits Survey of the Mid-State Manufacturers, as you've done,
yes,
are you, as you compare them to other areas of the nation, are you finding that everything is sort of becoming more similar? And I bring this up because if you look at Nashville, which we're the next-door neighbor of, hotels in Nashville are about the same price as you would pay in major cities. Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., and even pretty close to New York City.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The cost of houses in neighboring Davidson County escalating dramatically.
Yes.
So obviously the wages are going to have to keep up with those, or people are going to be in a big problem. So are you seeing all of this sort of coming together across the United States where we have pretty similar wages and benefits and cost of living?
You know, it's I wish it's easy to say that. You know, it's I mean, there will be some sort of convergence, you know, it's across the board. But, you know, it's again, you know, it's a supply and demand, you know, it's a situation here. And fortunately, we have a state here and also the region, which is really doing very well at this time, but not all areas in the nation actually doing the way we are doing. You know, some states actually losing population, we are gaining, you know, people migrating to the areas that have, you know, it's a decent quality of life, and as well as, you know, some opportunities on the employment side. And that's because of those dynamics, actually, you may have some areas still, you know, struggling. But here in Middle Tennessee, we are really blooming, you know, it's growing.
And we see that we're the 10th fastest growing community in the United States.
Yes.
But people are coming here, as you said, there are jobs.
Yes.
The quality of life is excellent.
Yes.
I mean, one of the great things that people look for is an opportunity to live in a community that has a good, strong college.
Yes.
MTSU, the largest undergraduate college in the whole state. A phenomenal job there.
You know, it's, we have a huge footprint. You know, it's, still we have ongoing research on the MTSU side. We did a press release about a year ago highlighting the impact of MTSU on the state overall. You know, it was about in the neighborhood of $1.2 billion. And we have currently an ongoing research looking at the alumni side. How are alumni, you know, contributing to the county's economy, you know, across Tennessee? We are not just focusing on Middle Tennessee, actually, we are focusing on the entire state and see county by county how we are contributing to those counties' economy. It's going to be a fascinating assessment because we're going to be looking at the footprint of MTSU across the state.
I think a lot of businesses look to MTSU for sort of the pulse of what's happening around the mid-state area. Your wage and benefits survey. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the program, we talked about the spring polls and how we're learning more about politics in the area, how people are sort of feeling politically. And then the Gore Center. That's just a fascinating place.
Yes.
So MTSU offers so much. They're getting ready, I believe, offering some programs for older learners, people who are seniors and wanting to learn more. Fascinating, a variety of subjects, everything from criminal studies to learning about literature and things of that sort.
Yeah, you know, so we are just starting. We just have our board, you know, getting our acts in order, and we are really, you know, scanning the needs in the community and then trying to address those needs. And that's one of our primary mission, and this is an ongoing effort, and I'm gonna I'm sure actually we're gonna have more cutting edge programs and training activities going on here on campus.
So with this information that you are putting together from the different places at MTSU, are HR managers coming to you trying to get a feel for the economy here, for what the worker wants, so they can provide that and get the very best employees?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, we are giving them wealth of information through this kind of research and survey. And what this does actually, you know, looks at, you know, it's a variety of perspectives, angles, you know, it's including the wage levels, you know, it's benefits, insurance, retirement related issues, and some sort of comparison between, occupation and the general or average wages in the neighborhood, in the area. It's a kind of, for each occupation that we profile, actually we are giving them a wealth of information that they could use to make sure that, you know, their employees' welfare is just comparable with, you know, what's out there. And also, you know, to recruit more businesses and recruit more employees. Not only for HR manager, actually, for local community leaders too. You know, this is a great tool to use.
These tools are great for retail, they're great for industry, but what about agriculture? This area originally was really strong in agriculture, still has really strong roots into the farming area. Farming has changed quite a bit. It's becoming big business nowadays. How do you help those people in agriculture?
You know, it's a fascinating area, and, you know, I remember visiting Robertson County, actually, a couple of large farms there. It's still big business. And we haven't touched on that issue in this report, but, you know, it's a kind of, looks like a fascinating topic to look at, and maybe our, you know, next research effort.
Very interesting. It's all about this area.
Yes.
And MTSU is getting the pulse of what's happening in this area. And in looking at MTSU, for example, with agriculture, and I guess this is sort of loosely related in some of the new master's areas that you're getting in brewing, yeast, things of that sort. You have a master's in that.
Fermentation science.
Somebody had said, well, why are they doing that? Are there jobs? And so you're linking the jobs to that fermentation science. And I've heard, I believe it's Dr. Tony
Johnson.
Dr. Tony Johnson is one of the leaders in that. In fact, is he heading up that department? He talks about how we have the largest manufacturing of yeast products in, I think, the nation, maybe the world, but at least the nation. You stop and you think, well, we have the yogurt factories here, General Mills, I mean, a pretty big outfit, and quite a few other things. And now getting into brewing. So it's a growing field.
It's a growing field. And, you know, fascinating things about, you know, we are really, as I said, you know, looking at the broader economic dynamics here in the region and then realigning our programs, especially in the science area fields, to make sure that we really tackle with the regional issues, challenges in a way that provide more jobs and welfare to the communities across Tennessee.
Now, since you're keeping that pulse on business in this area, several years ago there was an effort to sort of bring some of the technology fields together with the corridor of this area all the way down and including Huntsville on one direction and all the way up to Knoxville, Oak Ridge in the other direction. We're right in the middle of it. Is that still, which is full of entrepreneurs as well as scientists, is that still a budding area or has that just not grown as you thought it would?
It's still, you know, it's an area that we have our eyes on and we are working closely with several faculty members, you know, to make sure that we have a cutting edge research activities, you know, especially our graduate dean, the vice president for vice provost for research. And he is especially emphasizing on the, you know, innovative ways, you know, to tackle with the regional issues and problems that goes heart to the, you know, to the heart of the, you know, problem that you or the activities that you just mentioned. And I'm sure in the coming few years, actually, we're going to see more of those cutting edge research out of MTSU.
So the Silicon Valley is not out there shaking in their boots yet.
You know, we have great potentials here. You know, I do teach innovation acceleration, a new brand new course. We just introduced this semester, and it's fascinating to see our students actually, you know, getting used to some of the processes, done, you know, say, in the Silicon Valley or Stanford University. It's a fascinating effort, and I'm sure actually it's going to pick up more, and we're going to have more of those kind of activities.
Some of our links with China that Dr. McPhee has put together, especially in the areas dealing with medicines, some of the old ways of treating illnesses. Mm-hmm. How is that going?
You know, I think it's an ongoing effort, and we see more and more, you know, it's research efforts actually in the news recently. And that partnership is getting stronger and stronger. We have, you know, not just on the research side, we have also, you know, it's a faculty and student exchange activities, you know, it's going on. And I'm sure actually we're going to have that solid, you know, research program in those areas.
Now, before we leave, because we're getting close to the end of the broadcast, I want to give you an opportunity, since you are with MTSU's Business and Economic Research Center. Mm-hmm. Are there some areas that are really shining brightly that you're excited about in this geographic area?
Okay. You know, there are lots of things I am excited about. You know, it's, I've been here for 15 years almost. And I made this place my home. And over the years, I really witnessed tremendous growth. You know, it's across different fields and areas. The one thing that I really care and I see growing still is international business dynamics. And I would like to do more research and try to understand what's going on in those areas. You know, it's and of course, the overall economy. I mean, just look at Rutherford County. Everywhere it's just phenomenal, the growth and activities. And I am very excited overall.
We want to thank you for joining us today and sharing your information. Dr. Murat Arik, the director of the MTSU Business and Economic Research Center, visiting with us in this segment of our program. Stay with us. Much more to come. Our salute today has been on Middle Tennessee State University. So proud to have Big Blue here in our community. Truman is next on your good neighbor station.